Hey guys, it's Kiki and I am back. Already, child, we getting back into it. This is season 6 of OWN's Ready to Love. It's taking place in the Potomac DMV area. Okay, I guess they said we're just going to erase DC because DC gave absolutely nothing. All right, so we're going to relax, sit back. This review slash recap is going to take a while because we don't have a casting special. So I'm going to get to, you know, get into these contestants, these new characters, this new cast on our screen. And we're going to get into it, okay? So like I said, sit back, relax, get your snacks ready. If you're driving, get comfortable. Keep your eyes on the road, please. Or if you're doing errands in the background, your laundry, all of that. Because we're going to get into it. Let's go. I also forgot to say that the title of this episode is called Quality Over Quantity. All right, so we get started. Tommy introduces us to the new location, to the new sexy singles. Basically, damn it, we're going to make sure we find love this time around, all right? We're not like these other seasons at all. It's bullshit. Tommy is a great hype man, but as we meet the individuals, I'm just gonna give their name, age, and their occupation, and one thing they said about themselves as they're coming into this mixer. Now, some of these people don't get an introduction right off the bat. There's about 3 or 4 people who don't really get like their own time or their name on the Chiron screen, but you know what? We're gonna weave them in. So first things first, we meet Paul, who is 38. He is a software analyst. Okay, Paul. He says he needs sexual energy from his woman, okay? He wants her to do him. He wants to do her, but he also needs substance. I'm like, Paul, right off the bat, you came here horny as hell. Next, we have Dakia, 39. She's a senior systems engineer. Come on, black people with these good jobs. Come on. She says she's tired of swiping left and right. Okay, so we have a, just like me, disillusioned with online dating. And listen, I have found that you can just meet people by going to the bar. You actually have to go outside to meet potential people. Okay, your girl done clocked 3 dates this year. We still in January. I'm just saying, there's a method to my madness. Next, we have Tiffany. Tiffany's 37. She's a mobile education owner. Okay, girl. She says she likes to touch and she likes to be... She says she likes to touch and she likes to touch. Okay, let me say that again for Tiffany. Tiffany, girl, I'm sorry. Tiffany likes to touch and she likes... Why can't I get this? She likes to touch and be touched? Okay, that's what it is. I'm trying to overcomplicate things for Tiffany. Tiffany expresses that she's just a good old-fashioned Southern girl, a country girl. Okay, she's going to cook for her man and she expects some rewards. Okay, next we have Wiley. Okay, Wiley's 32. Very, very good looking. I could tell he was an athlete from the way he hopped out of that Uber XL with his shoulders hunched up. But Wiley is 32. He's an athletic director and a musician. He used to play football for Virginia Tech. Shout out to VT. My cousin graduated from there. He got a good job, honey. Wiley says that he wants to get married and that there's always a stigma with former athletes or with jocks that they just sleep around with women. But he would actually like to settle down. Okay, old girl was peeping his Virginia Tech ring right off the bat. I was like, that's right, girl, you better look at the fingers. Look at the fingers, look at the school rings. It's important. The 4 people who are there, which is Paul, Dakia, Tiffany, and Wiley, they're talking about dating in the area that they are, the DMV area, and how men just want to sample everything, and that's the problem because the women to men ratio in their area is 1 to 10. Child, I think that's the ratio for here in Charleston. Dead ass, I really do think it is. I think it's also 1 to 10. Or maybe 1 to 20. Child, let's keep it moving. Next, we meet Fernando, who is 34. He's a risk analyst. He says that, you know, he wants to be the type of man that's very chivalrous, okay? He doesn't understand women at one time because one time his ex went on a swingers retreat and didn't take him. His ex was also sleeping with men in his home. Fernando, I'm gonna put a star next to your name because these men always come in these shows as these hurt, wounded victims, but then they be the one playing games in the end. So I'm not really convinced that, oh, you know, my ex cheated on me. I'm sorry that happened, but the writing should have been on the wall. Like, why did you stay? What's tea? Next, we have Kina. Kina is 39. She's a budget analyst, and she says she wants a man that leads, okay? She immediately meets Fernando, and she's enamored by him. She thinks he's cute. She thinks he's very sweet, but that she needs a man with a flat ass, okay? She says that Fernando's ass is bigger than hers. Kina, I'm also going to put a star by your name for choosing violence. Choosing violence immediately off the block. Like, girl, what? Next, we have Precious. Precious is very beautiful. She's 34. She's an IT consultant. She says she wants a confident man. Okay, and she wants a relationship like Martin and Gina. Precious, no, ma'am. That is not a relationship you want to emulate. Like me and Ashley always reference on our joint episodes, damn, will you marry me, Gina? Damn. Like, no. Any man that feels like he needs to beg you to get married or no, ma'am. Thank you. No, thank you, Precious. But Precious is immediately having chemistry with a man named Demetrius. Okay, he comes in there all chocolate with the beard. Ladies, we got to be smarter with the men with the beards this season. Okay, we let them play us. Okay, hello, Walter. Hello? What was the guy from the season before last with, like, Kyra in that Liz and Jason season? The one who left his debit card home on the date? Y'all, don't let the beard and the chocolate skin fool y'all. But we have Demetrius. He's 42. He's a government contractor. He spent 21 years in the military, and now he's retired. He says that he's had his fill of women. Y'all know the men in the military, child. Stay away. They get you pregnant. He's ready to settle down, all right? He's been out there. He's had his fun. He's ready to, you know, transition to this next part of his life. Next, we meet Sabrina, who is 36. She is a nonprofit executive. And Miss Mams, she has a list literally on her iPhone and all the things she wants in a partner. Now, as someone who likes to make lists, I'm here for it, but I would never have put my list on national TV, okay? You gotta manifest in quiet sometimes. That's just it. Next, we meet Laverne, who is a man. I'm gonna be calling him Laverne and Shirley. Laverne is 44. He's a lead tech analyst. Okay, and he has never had a serious girlfriend. I think he said he's never met someone who's been as serious as he is. So he's looking for a great relationship. Next, we meet Clifton. Now, Clifton looks like Method Man, but like with a couple extra pounds. Clifton, I don't know if your blazer got too hard in the Uber XL. Sir just came on with a polo tee and some dress pants, and the tee wasn't even tucked in. Clifton, I know you a big boy, like big muscular boy, but I'm gonna need you. This is the mixer. This is the first impression. Like the wrinkled clothing. No, sir. Nigga, put a damn shirt on. Put a damn blazer on. Like, can we get a three-piece suit? But everybody seemed to have a welcome response to Clifton, okay? Once I get his name straight, you know, we gonna get in there. But yes, Clifton, 44, project manager, consultant. He says he's just really an outgoing man and he's down for whatever. So I feel like Clifton, he's gonna be one to watch this season. Okay, so we have Tommy come in and introduce himself to the cast. He's asking them, are y'all tired of playing games? Y'all tired of swiping left and right? You know, it's time for y'all to find real love and real relationships. Tommy, of course, has to drive this through because what's our biggest criticism of this franchise? None of the relationships last. None of them seem real. So Tommy's like, listen, we're gonna deliver this season. If it's the last thing we do, damn it. He says usually they start with 20 contestants, okay? 10 men, 10 women. But this time, okay, we're trying to focus on quality over quantity. So at this mixer right now, there are only 7 men and 7 women. And something tells me they're going to be dropping in people throughout the season, just like they did last season with Sydney and old boy. I can't remember his name. Don't think it's that important. But Sydney had a good run. He didn't. He says, you know, keep your head on a swivel. There's going to be twists and turns, but y'all got to, you know, play the game and, you know, get along to go along and, you know, make the connections with the people who are here. So tonight, 2 people will be going home. They always act so shocked and I'm like, is it not usually 2 people? Because 2 people went home last season on DC. It was almost 4 people. They do the bottom 2 for men and women each and then 2 people get to step in. Okay, shout out to Libba. Okay, so The singles are going to mix and mingle, honey. We have Joy. She was in a green dress. She's one of the people who didn't get a proper introduction in the first, you know, part. Joy is 41. She's a professional singer, and she's having a conversation with Fernando. And she feels like Fernando is interviewing her, and she's not really here for it because, you know, when you're on an interview, you're not getting to know the person. You want to know if they can do the job. And I was like, Joy, you're on to something. But how else in this environment are they going to get to know y'all? Like, someone always has a complaint on the first episode every season. Like, oh, it felt like an interview, baby, because it's a reality show. Okay, they need to know what they're working with, and they have limited time. Tommy just said two people are going home, so they need to see, you know, get out there, see if how the fish in the sea are looking, and see if they have a real connection off the bat. So while I understand it's annoying, how else are y'all going to get to know each other? We see Wiley and Kina talking. Kina's so outspoken and she's so blunt, and that's not really meshing well for little Wiley. She says that she likes Wiley, but he's too young for her. Kina is a woman who knows what she wants and knows what she doesn't want, so y'all don't even need to waste her time, okay? We see Sabrina speaking with Demetrius. You know, Sabrina's so cute. Demetrius is so cute, and it's chocolate. And I'm like, oh, they look nice together. Y'all, I think I already found my first couple I want to root for, and that's Sabrina and Demetrius. I have written down chemistry in all cap letters. They go inside to have a discussion, and we find out that Demetrius was married, okay? He was married for 3 years, and I was like, yep, them damn military men. He says that, you know, the end of his marriage was his fault. He takes full responsibility because he dealt with infidelity issues. He says that he was insecure and not sure of himself, so we got ourselves a cheater. But that he's gone to therapy and counseling and done the work. Sabrina was also married at one time. She just says that she was too young when she got married, but she also as well went to therapy and counseling and learned a little bit more about herself. So I like the second chance love aspect. Y'all know I always go into Ready to Love with like at least two couples who I'm trying to root for, but then it all goes to hell. So Sabrina and Demetrius, I like them. Next we have Precious and Phil. Phil was the first guy to come in the house, but he's going around telling the ladies to call him P.O. like P.O. box, post office, because he delivers. P.O. needs to G.O. I'm not here for him. I think he's corny already. Like, see, this is why men who are single after a certain age, as hard as y'all are on women in society, it's the men too. Like, y'all are just fucking corny. Like, you're not 20 years old anymore. You're a grown ass man. Tell me your real name. Your name is motherfucking Paul, okay? Like, it's funny now because when I meet people for the first time, they're like, oh, is Kiki your real name? And I'm like, it is a family nickname that I've been called since birth. But no, my real name is Kiara. And yeah, if I get to know you, you can refer to me as Kiara. Okay, if I respect you, yeah, call me Kiara. But, you know, the whole P.O. because I deliver. Nigga, you are not Karl Malone, okay? Stop. I hope not. Let me leave Mr. Malone alone. But yeah, the P.O. thing, the ladies aren't really feeling him. He's having a conversation with another lady that we didn't get a proper introduction on. Her name is Ace. She has the butterfly locks. Okay, her hair is very cute. She's 37. She's a philanthropist. Okay, I'm about to say a whole different pronunciation. But she was married like over a decade ago, and P.O. is pressing her like, oh, what happened? She was like, oh, I was married for a year and I was just too young. It was as simple as that. And he's like, well, if you're only married for a year, how do you know what you want? How would I go forward into a relationship with you? How do I know you're not going to run? These are all very valid concerns, but it was the way he was saying it that I really didn't jive with. And I wrote down, P.O. is rude as hell. He is. I hope he's the first one to get eliminated. Sorry, sir. I'm just not feeling you and your approach. There is a thing that you've been out of the dating loop too long, that you lack a subtlety about yourself, and you lack the way, you lack tone in direction, and he has neither when it comes to how to speak to a grown-ass woman. Like, Miss Ace, she looked like she was ready to rip his ass apart, but, you know, she played it cute because she's a lady. But if it was me, no, I would have been fighting fire with fire. You want to choose violence, motherfucker, so will I. So we're back at the mixer. We have Precious pulling a guy aside, taking him inside to have a conversation. We're introduced to Tori. He's 39. He's a realtor. They're talking about, famous love stories. He asks her if she likes Romeo and Juliet. Romeo and Juliet's one of my favorite Shakespeare stories. Okay. She's like, no, you know, anytime you gotta lie to your family to make poor love choices, it's a no for me. So they have a very deep conversation about family and their relationships. Tori was raised by his grandparents. His mom was in the military. She never really told him that she loved him until recently in passing. And he said, you know, it kind of shifted their relationship because he had never gotten that from her before. Precious can relate because she was raised by her aunt, not her mom. They've been estranged for, I think, about 15 years, but it's definitely shifted her idea of a family dynamic. And if she has a child or chooses to have children, she would want her child to feel loved. And there's a lot of steps she has to take to have a proactive relationship with her child. So they have a really great, deep conversation. And I'm like, I could see it. Tori is still a little quiet to me. He seemed very nervous, but who wouldn't be? Your first time on camera doing this type of stuff. But I think off the bat, when you look at a woman like Precious, you see the leg out, you're thinking, ooh, sex appeal. I wasn't expecting that amount of depth from her, but Black people verbally communicating about therapy and family relationships, that's always going to get me in my feels. Like, there's so much unspoken trauma that we go through and that we don't deal with in family relationships. It's great to see older people discussing that and bringing it to the forefront. All right, I liked it. Tommy comes back to the mixer. Why was Tommy looking like a guest? Like, he just dropped down there. Like, he didn't want to interrupt people, but he's like, listen, I want to talk to the ladies. Let me see how y'all feeling. So he pulls a couple of the ladies aside. We get a montage of him speaking to the different ladies of the cast about who they're feeling. And that number one position is going to Demetrius, all right? They're like, oh yeah, it's the beard, it's the chocolate. And Tommy was sitting back. I think it was Sabrina who was saying it. He's like, oh, it's that chocolate thing, huh? Tommy. Tommy looked like he was low-key hating. Y'all know Tommy believes in colorism against light-skinned men. So y'all better chill with the chocolate thing. And I'm like, Tommy, yeah, I know their hearts are going to get broken. Y'all better stop. Leave the chocolate and the beard alone. But Demetrius seems to be on a lot of ladies' lists. Okay, next we have Clifton. The nigga I told to put a suit jacket on. You know, they like him. They say that he gives a protective vibe and that he's great to talk to. Wiley was in the third position, y'all. All right, young buck. Okay, Wiley. Then Tori for some people. And then Laverne. Tommy asked the ladies who they aren't feeling as he goes around the mixer. Fernando, there's just nothing there with him. I believe it was, who was it that said he was an interviewer? I think Ace was saying, you know, he came in a suit for an interview. If you're a man, you come in a suit for two reasons. And one of the reasons is an interview. Yeah, the ladies aren't really feeling Laverne. I'm sorry, they're not feeling Fernando. The other person they're not feeling is P.O., Mr. Paul. And Tommy's like, P.O.? That mean parole officer where I come from. But yeah, some of the ladies feel that P.O. isn't really serious. He's not really here for love. Ace feels like he's too combative. And I kind of agree. He's just here to argue, child. He's just here for the free drinks. And he told us he was a freak right off the bat. You know, he wants a sexual woman. He wants to put her on the table and do... Sir, go to Bumble for all of that shit, okay? Go to fucking Hinge. Don't come already to love for that bullshit. So Tommy gathers the group together for the first elimination of the night. And the first man to go home is Fernando. I don't really see why it wasn't P.O., but y'all know I'm already seeing the production antics. Y'all want to keep the drama around, so whatever. After the elimination, Tommy lets them know, after this, you know, now one woman has to go home. So go out and mingle, make the most of your connections. We see some couples, you know, talking. We see Ace and Wiley speaking. We see Clifton and Joy sitting together. She says that he's like a caramel Paul Bunyan, child. Okay. And she says it's really the Barry White voice. I don't know. Niggas with deep voices scare me. I don't know. I just feel like they're going to... I don't know. I'm not going to get into that. She says she likes him just based on the fact that he was very upfront. She feels like with the conversation she's had at the mixer, she's had to peel back layers and get to know people. But what you see is what you get with him, and she enjoys that. Clifton, in return, says that Joy is his realest connection he's had tonight. And I'm just like, well, Clifton, you got all the ladies' panties in a bunch. So if you're saying that Joy is cool, I could see it. They share a drink. She lets him drink some of his Prosecco. And I'm like, girl, it's COVID, girl. Still, y'all better be vaxxed and waxed. Next, we see Tori having a conversation with Tiffany. She lets him know that she has two sons. They don't want to see her get hurt, but, you know, they're open to her dating because they've seen her get hurt before. Most importantly, her oldest son has seen her gone through some hard times with dating. Tori feels like Tiffany is guarded, that she's hiding something. I mean, when you are dating with intention and you have children, you don't want to just bring anyone around your child. You have to be very selective. So I don't know, maybe it was a part of their conversation that I didn't see, but I didn't think she was hiding anything. She definitely was holding back, but I don't know. We see Sabrina talking with Laverne, and he's telling her, you know, I'm from Gary, Indiana. Tell me you know what's up about Gary, Indiana. She's like, I don't know. You'd have to tell me. Sabrina, now you said you wanted a man who likes black people, right? How do you not know that Gary, Indiana is the birthplace of the Jackson family, sis? Sabrina, I gotta take away some points on that one. Who doesn't know that? But Precious slides in. She wants to steal Laverne away, and Sabrina makes her exit. She's like, girl, you can have my seat. Yeah, I really didn't see any chemistry with Laverne and Sabrina. I was about to call her Shirley, child. Precious slides in, and her and Laverne are having like a flirtatious sexual conversation. Just a lot of giggling and sniggling and talking about putting his hands all over her body. And, you know, she says that she really likes Laverne, but her problem with him is that he's too social. Precious, are you the jealous type? As they're talking, Keena slides in because she wants to talk to Laverne. And Laverne is like, he never intended for the little patio to be his little office, but the women are coming up to him, so they must be seeing something that we don't see, because I don't really see much being there. Again, you know, hindsight being what it is, and we're just watching the show. I don't see why they all over him, but it is what it is, child. Again, we see more couples mingling. We see Keena and Wiley talking. No, that wasn't Keena. What was that girl's name? Keena is running around getting on everybody's nerve. It was Tiffany and Wiley holding hands. I was like, now, Miss Tiffany, let Tori tell it you were so guarded. But she and Wiley holding hands, she's asking him, like, when's your birthday? What day is that? Man, when women ask you that, we're trying to find out your zodiac sign, okay? We're trying to see if you crazy or not. Clifton says that this experience feels like speed dating on crack, so he wants to link up with Dakia and have a conversation with her. They're talking about 5-year plans, where they see themselves living. They both agree that they want to live on the water, somewhere nice, on a boat. Keena comes in. Now, I thought she was going to slide in to get to know Clifton, but she just sits down and it's very awkward, jumps in their conversation. She says that she is exhausted and she's got a headache and she was trying to find an aspirin. Sis, you've been at this mixer all day drinking all types of wine and Proseccos and all. Yeah, girl, I would have a headache too. Like, I wonder if they get like a little hour break in between a touch-up makeup, because some of the makeups were melting underneath the lights and the humidity and the sunlight outside. Can everybody just get a break to, you know, hair and makeup, please, and an aspirin? I felt bad for Keena because I've been there. Clifton and Dakia are like, okay, well, this is awkward. But Clifton said he could tell that Keena was exhausted, so she's just trying to find a place to sit down. Tommy gathers some of the men as he goes around the mixer to ask them who they're feeling. The number one spot goes to Sabrina. And this is in no way what they've said ranking wise. This is what I've gathered from the editing. So Sabrina, everybody seems to like her. P.O. says that he is actively pursuing her because she's everything he wants in a woman on paper and aesthetic wise. P.O., you don't have a snowball's chance in hell, bruh, but, you know, keep hope alive. The second position goes to Precious. The guys seem to like her. Dakia has the third spot, and the last spot goes to Joy, okay? Especially Clifton. He like him some Joy. Men, who are you not feeling? Well, that number one spot goes to Keena. Keena's a little too blunt for some people. they can't really vibe with her. And Kina is very, I wouldn't say an overbearing personality. It's just a directness about her that could rub a lot of men the wrong way. The number two spot goes to Ace. Wiley says that all Ace talks about is yoga. Like, there's nothing else there with her. I wouldn't have gotten that impression. The third spot then goes to Tiffany. Again, Tori reiterates that he feels like she's holding back. And I'm just like, well, she wasn't holding back for Wiley. Sometimes certain people bring out certain feelings and emotions and, you know, characteristics out of you. So it could be that you're also boring as well. So we have Tommy gather all the singles, and it is time for the second elimination of the night. It's going to be time for the ladies elimination. Tommy announces that there are going to be two women at the bottom. I don't know if it was an actual tie, but I'm like, why didn't y'all do two men at the bottom? But two women at the bottom are Tiffany and Kina. And Kina has been selected as not ready to love. So Kina will be going home. She's disappointed, but she says that she's very guarded. And sometimes that can come off as being very nonchalant. So Kina goes home. I would have loved to see her more in this process and try to see who she would have linked up with. And, you know, I feel like she would have probably softened a little bit. But she's going home. Tommy's like, listen, y'all, we still gonna have some curveballs. We're trying to focus on quality over quantity, and y'all live to see another day. So that's where the show ends. The premiere was good, you guys. I really enjoyed it. It didn't feel like a chore to watch. These singles are immediately an upgrade from the last cast, which is the DC cast. And I think this season they're going to switch up some of the rules. I know Tommy said that they're going to be introducing more singles as the season goes along, and that some of them will be introduced on blind dates with people who are already on the cast. So let's see. We had 14 people, two went home, so 12. They should probably bring in about, I would say, about four or five more people, you know, throw a little odd number in there. But yeah, y'all, I enjoyed it, and I have high hopes for this season. I just hope that it isn't as childish as it was last season. I'm looking at you, Camille and Zadia. And I'm hoping that we see more connections. And I don't really need the drama on a show like this. I just hope we can have meaningful conversations and meaningful representations of Black love, okay? Thank you guys so much for listening. If you listened to the last reunion recap part two of the DC, I cannot guarantee that the episodes will come out on time. You know, real life is getting in the way, but I will always try to make time for y'all when it's available. So if the episodes are a little late, please don't be mad, okay? Should I ask a Spotify question? I may ask you guys, who's your favorite contestant of this episode? You know, who are you interested in seeing thrive? I'll tailor the question on Spotify, but if anybody answers, of course, I will answer it in next week's episode. Thanks so much for listening. I can be reached, watched, tweeted, DM'd at KDASHDIOR. All right. Bye, guys. Thanks.